We're in our last lesson of the six-week series, Welcome Home, Connecting and Engaging People in Our Church. And as I've mentioned the last 5 weeks, the church has the responsibility to welcome new people and engage them. And what we mean by engage them is to get them involved in the ministry, give them an opportunity to serve. And as I pointed out, you and I are the church. The church is not an organization, but that's not what the church is. It is a building, but that's not what the church is. You and I are the church, the called out assembly of believers. We're the church, and so we have the responsibility to welcome and engage people in our church. And what these lessons have done is look at different things from the Bible, different principles from the Bible that will help us do that. Okay. Again, as Brother Andy mentioned, this book is our instruction manual. It tells us about God. It tells us how much He loved us. It tells us how He sent His Son to die in our place. But it also tells us how to live. It tells us how to live in this earth. It tells us how to get along with people. And it gives instructions to the church as to how we're to operate. And so we've looked at different things over the past 5 weeks. We've looked at how we live our lives ought to be the welcome mat into our church. We've looked at the fact that we ought to treat everybody the same. There should be no partiality. There's no respect of persons with God, and there shouldn't be with us. We've talked about being a friend to strangers, not just the people we know, but being a friend to strangers. And our love and our service needs to be rooted in the fact that strangers are going to come into our life, and we need to be a friend to them. We've talked about going out of our way when we looked at the story of the Good Samaritan, going out of our way to love other people. Last week we talked about joy and how we ought to have a real joy that's not dependent on circumstances, but dependent on our relationship with the Lord. And then today we're going to talk about, the name of the lesson is Going Out. Engaging others with the gospel means going where they are. You know, I was thinking, as I was thinking about the lesson, about how we get food has changed over the years. You know, back in the early days of our country, when we were more of an agricultural kind of society, people grew most of what they ate at home. Okay, so they would have gardens and they would raise animals, and most of the things that they ate actually came from their homestead. Stores, as towns began to develop, little stores began to develop, and people would go to the store and buy certain things they needed. Now, you didn't run to the store every day. Most of the time, it was a trip. I mean, you had to, you know, hitch up the horse to the wagon and go into town. And usually, when you went to buy supplies, you bought a month's worth. Okay, and so you got a lot of them. So, you know, you didn't go to the store every day. And then as time passed and less people lived on farms and grew their own food and moved into cities and to suburbs, certain things were delivered. So I kind of remember as a boy that, you know, milk was delivered and bread was delivered. We used to have vegetable wagons, not wagons with horses, but wagons pulled by trucks that would come through the neighborhood and sell vegetables. But there were more grocery stores. I mean, there were a lot of them. It seems like they were on every corner. Little mom and pop grocery stores that stole groceries that people could go to every day if they needed to because it was close to their home. But then, you know, that developed into where now we've got, you know, super centers, big grocery stores with everything that you want. And many people go to them once, twice, more than that a day to get what they need. Now we're starting to change again. I mean, now, you know, you can call ahead and they'll do all your shopping for you and have it ready for you. You just pull in and pick it up. Other people, you know, for a certain fee will deliver it to you. I mean, Amazon's working out a system where they got these drones. You order what you want, they'll put it in a box and it'll be on your front porch. I mean, I think it's Amazon as well. They're working on a store where you go in and they scan your phone or something. You just pick up what you want, put it in the basket, and walk out. And you're not shoplifting because it will record what you bought and deduct it from your checking account or put it on your credit card. And so, you know, things are constantly changing. But, I say all that to serve as an example, but the way that God wants us to get the gospel out has not changed. The way that God wants us to get the gospel out is for us to go out and engage people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the way that Jesus did it. I mean, you stop and think about the people that Jesus talked to about himself. I mean, yes, it happened in the synagogue at times. It happened at the church at times. But many more times it happened as he went out into the open air, out into the fields, and engaged a number of people, engaged people one-on-one. He went to them, and then when he gave us his commission, he says, you go, and you teach, and you preach, and you tell them about me. And so that's what the lesson is about this morning, going out. Going out. Majority of churches are open to new people. They like people to visit. They want to get them involved. They do their best to extend a welcome. However, most new people, most non-believers, don't come to the church on their own. I mean, they just don't drive by and say, hey, there's a nice-looking church. I mean, other Christians do, but non-believers don't. They don't go drive by the building and say, hey, that's a nice-looking church. Let's drop in. Usually somebody has to get to them. Usually somebody has to invite them. And so we need to go where they are to do that. All right, let me set the scene for the lesson. Paul and Barnabas had been in Jerusalem. They were at a church meeting. They were dealing with a problem. There was a dispute that arose about the conversion of Gentiles, about whether they needed to be circumcised or not. So they got that problem solved. Paul and Barnabas, who had gone out on a missionary journey together, along with a man named Judas and a man named Silas, went back to Antioch of Syria, where Paul and Silas were sent out from on their first missionary journey. Those four men went back to Antioch. A few days later, Paul said, hey, Barnabas, let's go out to the churches that we started on our first missionary journey. Let's see how they're doing. Let's encourage them, and then we'll visit other places as well. Barnabas said, okay, I'm ready to go, but I want to take John Mark. Now, John Mark was Barnabas' nephew. He had gone with Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey, but about halfway through, he got homesick and went back home. And Paul was a little perturbed at John Mark. He later forgave him, but he was a little perturbed and said, no, we're not taking John Mark. And the disagreement was so strong that Barnabas said, well, I'm going to take John Mark, and he did. And he went to Cyprus, where he was from, and Paul chose Silas, and they went out to revisit some of the churches that Paul and Barnabas had started and visited on their first missionary journey. And so if you begin to read in Acts chapter 16 and then in 17, it almost reads like a travel log. Okay, no slides, but it reads about the different places that they went. There's over 10 different cities, provinces, territories, towns that they went to. Some they spent just a day or so in. Some they spent a prolonged period of time in. It was on the second missionary journey that Paul and Silas took when they came to Lystra, where Paul and Barnabas had visited on the first missionary journey, that Paul asked Timothy to join him. Timothy had met Timothy on his first missionary journey, and we know that, you know, Timothy was, Paul considered him his son in the gospel, and Paul asked Timothy to join him and Silas, and he did. And so they went to different churches, and the churches were strengthened, they were encouraged. They went to new places, new people were saved, new churches were started. And so we start in Acts chapter 16 this morning. That's where the lesson is. Three parts of the lesson. Persevere in your efforts to reach others for Christ. Persevere in those efforts. Number two, embrace the opportunities that God gives you. Okay? God's going to give us opportunities to share the gospel. We need to take advantage of them. And then number three, share Christ with everybody that you encounter. Everybody that you encounter. So Acts chapter 16, first three verses 6, 7, and 8, start out this morning. And this is the part of the lesson that encourages us to persevere in our efforts to win others for Christ. Now, when they had gone throughout Perga and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. Okay, so Paul and Silas and Timothy are now on their way. They went throughout Persia and the region of Galatia. Persia was a sub-region of Galatia. Paul wanted to preach the gospel in Asia. And so he headed in that direction. Now, Asia is not the continent that we know as Asia today, with China being the biggest country. Asia was a part of Asia Minor, okay? The Bible says that he was forbidden from going where he wanted to go by the Holy Ghost, by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit stopped him from going. It hindered him from going. It prevented him from going. The Bible gives us no explanation as to why the Holy Spirit forbid them to go. Now, we can discern the reason a little bit later in the passages of Scripture, but at the time that the Holy Spirit stopped them from going, the Bible doesn't say, well, here's why. Okay? And again, we don't know how the Holy Spirit got that message to these men. And we don't know if it came to all three of them or just to Paul. The Holy Spirit can use different situations. The Holy Spirit can use circumstances. The Holy Spirit can use people. The Holy Spirit can use other means to get his message across. Sometimes the Holy Spirit just puts a deep impression on your heart and your mind. And so we don't know how the Holy Spirit conveyed to Paul or to convey to these three men that he didn't want them to go to these places. But however the message came, Paul got it and he obeyed it. Okay? Again, if it only came to Paul, he told Silas and Timothy, I wanted to go in this direction. I mean, this was my plan. But God doesn't want us to do that. It goes on to say, they came to Mysia, and they essayed, they attempted, or they endeavored to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit suffered them not. That word suffered means it didn't allow them. It didn't permit them. So once again, I mean, they were stopped from going the first place they wanted to go. And again, Paul said, okay, if you don't want me to go there, if you're not going to tell me where to go, I'm going to go here. Paul just didn't sit down and say, you stop me, now tell me where you want me to go. He said, you didn't want me to go here, so I'm going to try to go here. The Holy Spirit said, no, I don't want you to go there either. And again, Mysia was a region in the northwest part of Asia Minor. And so from Mysia, they attempted to go to Bithynia. Again, Paul had a plan for the trip, but he was open to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And he was willing to set aside what he wanted to do and what he thought was the best to do to follow the direction of that the Lord wanted to set. Again, as a leader of the group, he needed to have a plan, but he wasn't so stubborn to say, hey, I've got this plan, it's the best plan. If God came to him, and when God came to him and said, hey, I want you to change your plan, Paul said, okay, I will. Now, the same ought to be true in our lives. We ought to live intentionally, okay? We ought to have a plan, okay? Life ought to not be just a series of hours and a series of days where we just drift through life. And we let circumstances, dictate what we do. Sometimes circumstances do that, but your life's not going to be very productive for God if you let circumstances dictate everything that happens in your life. We need to live intentionally. We need to have a plan. But we also need to be open to how God wants that plan to change at times. Paul's intentions for going where he wanted to go were good. He wanted to preach the gospel. He wanted to start churches. But for reasons he didn't know about yet, okay? For reasons he didn't know about yet, That was not part of God's plan. But it didn't stop him. He kept moving. The last part of verse 8, we passed by Masaya and we came down to Troas. Now, Troas was a city, part of the Roman Empire at the time. It was a seaport, okay? It was designated as a Roman colony, so there was a military presence there, and it was located on the Aegean Sea, okay? It was the primary place that people left from in order to get to Macedonia, okay? So, Paul had attempted to go three different places. Every time the Holy Spirit closed the door, said, I don't want you to go there. Again, we don't know how, but he closed the door. I don't want you to go there. And they ended up in Troas. They ended up in the very place that God wanted them to be. You say, how do you know that God wanted them to be there? Well, hang on. You'll see in the next few verses. All right, let's go on. Verses 9 through 10. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Now, don't know for sure how long they were in Troas. Again, they were in Troas because God had shut the doors in the other places. Verse 9 seems to indicate that it was the first night, that they didn't spend much time in Troas at all. Paul had a vision, okay? A vision is a divine sight, a something that God gives you when you're asleep. I mean, I guess you could have a vision. Peter had a vision when he went up on the roof and the sheet came down from heaven and he wasn't asleep. I guess you could have a vision in a day. But since it was night, Paul was probably asleep when he had this vision. And in this vision, he saw a man from Macedonia. Now, how do you know he was from Macedonia? I don't know. Maybe it was his speech. Maybe it was the way they dressed. Somehow Paul knew. Maybe in the vision there was a sign that said, welcome to Macedonia. I don't know. Somehow Paul knew that this was a man of Macedonia. Maybe God just told him, hey, this guy that you see is from Macedonia. He heard him speak, and the man prayed, or begged, exhorted, summoned, called to Paul, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Okay? The message conveyed a sense of urgency. Come and help us now. The man was asking for aid. And the fact that he said, come over or cross over, was an appropriate word because of the direction that Paul had to go, Paul and Silas and Timothy, had to go to get there. Macedonia was a Roman province. It was in the upper part of what was upper part of Greece, and it was from Troas. It was in a northwest direction across the Aegean Sea. So again, God got Paul and Silas and Timothy to the very spot that they needed to leave from in order to get to Macedonia. Now, Paul was certain that this vision was directions from the Lord. After he had seen the vision, he shared it with Silas and with Timothy. Now, I don't know if it did come in the middle of the night. I don't know if Paul waited till the next morning and said, guys, after they woke up, I got a message from God. I know where we're supposed to go. Or, here's what I think happened. I think he woke them up. I don't think he waited till morning. I think he was so excited that he had heard from God, and God had told him where he wanted them to go, that he was so excited that he woke them up and said, hey, I've got a message from God. I know where he wants us to go. He wants us to go to Macedonia. Now, notice what it says. It says, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. Notice the change in pronoun. Up to this point, it was always they. Now it's we. Most Bible scholars assume or presume that the change in pronoun was on purpose because Luke, Dr. Luke, the writer of the book of Luke and the book of Acts joined those three men at this point. He joined up with them in Troas. Probably there when Paul shared the vision. And so he says, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. So now there's four. There's Paul, there's Silas, there's a young man, Timothy, and their doctor, Luke. And they immediately endeavored to go because they assuredly gathered. And that word gathered means to conclude, come together and conclude. Assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. So now I think Paul and Silas and Timothy understood. Now we understand why God shut the door. Now we understand why he wouldn't let us go to these places. Now we understand that he wants us to go to Macedonia. And we understand why he wouldn't let us go to those other places. Now, when Paul saw the vision, and the man said, come over into Macedonia and help us, Paul said, I know what the help they need. The help they need is to hear the gospel. They need to hear about Jesus. And so they immediately endeavored to go. That word immediately means without delay. Okay? I think they got up the next morning. If they went back to sleep, they got up the next morning and they began looking for a ship. They began looking for a way to cross the Aegean Sea and to get to Macedonia. That word endeavored means seeking or striving after something that's desired. Their desire was to do what God told them to do, get to Macedonia and preach the gospel. And when we're sure, when we're certain that God is leading us to do something, why should we linger? Why should we linger? We should not linger. They are a good example to us. When God, the Holy Spirit, tells us to do something, we don't need to delay. We need to get at it. I mean, if we're sure that it's of God, let's just do it. Let's just start. Delay has consequences. Delay has consequences. I mean, it has consequences for the people that God may be sending us to. It also has consequences for us. Stop and think about it. Delay is the first step of disobedience. First step of disobedience. And continued delay is disobedience. If God's told us to do something and we don't get about doing it, then we are disobeying him. I know we'll say, well, I'm going to get to it. Well, maybe you'll get to it and maybe you won't. The longer we delay, the more likely is we'll never get to it. I mean, and so if we're sure that God's told us to do it, what good reason do we have to delay? We just need to get at it. And I know some people say, preacher, God's never told me to do anything. And I'll say to them, look, come on. He's given us a whole book of things he wants us to do. A whole book of instructions. And so we don't need to delay. We just need to get at it. Get at it immediately. Immediately. All right, let's go on and look at verse 11 through 15. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. So they made preparation to depart from Troas. That word loosing is a word used by navigators. It means to launch out, set sail, put to sea. Said they came with a straight course to Samarakia. That was an island in the Aegean Sea about halfway between Troas and Neapolis. Okay? So they stopped briefly at the island, maybe spent the night there, and the next day went to Neapolis, completing the journey. Now, Neapolis was a city on the eastern shore of Macedonia. Okay? So the trip across the sea took about a day. Okay? Day plus a little bit. In order for that to happen, they had to have favorable winds. Okay? Later in Acts chapter 20, a trip in the opposite direction took 5 days to make. So when they went in the direction that they did, they had the wind at their sails. They made a quick trip. And I'm sure that Paul and Silas and Timothy and Dr. Luke said, well, we not only have a favorable wind, that favorable wind means that we're in favor with God. He told us to go. We went immediately. God had the wind blowing in the right direction so that we could get there quickly. Neapolis was the primary port for the city of Philippi. Philippi was 10 miles inland, but this was their port. So when they came off the ship, they probably took a road called the Via Egnatha. It was a major east and west highway that went through Macedonia from Neapolis to Philippi. Philippi is called the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony. So again, just like Troas, it was a Roman colony. It wasn't the capital of Macedonia. Thessalonica was the capital of Macedonia. But Philippi was a principal city in that part of Macedonia. Okay? And it was important in the economy of Macedonia. Philippi was settled because there was gold and copper in the area. Okay? Philip of Macedon, okay, who was the father of Alexander the Great, and we've recently talked about, you know, when we studied the book of Daniel, we talked a little bit about Alexander the Great. Philip of Macedon had conquered this city, and he had expanded the gold mines, and he established the city of Philippi as a major economic center. Okay, the Romans took it when they conquered Greece, and they made it a colony. Now, as a colony, again, if you were designated as a Roman colony, they kept soldiers there. They also gave you a break. You didn't have to pay some of the taxes that they charged other cities. And so Paul, Silas, Timothy, Dr. Luke, they took this road after they landed at Neapolis. They came to Philippi, and Luke writes, we were there certain days, abiding in the city. And so it seems like they took some time to settle in before they started preaching. They weren't just going to stay here overnight. They were going to stay here for a while. Now, part of Paul's strategy when he went on a missionary journey, whenever he went into a new city, he would always, first of all, on the Sabbath, go into a synagogue. He would always go in, first of all, to preach to the Jews. He used his common heritage as a Jew to make a connection to the Jews. He used what they knew from the Torah, the law of Moses, to lay the basis for the gospel. Okay? And so he always went into a synagogue, engaged the Jews first, and then would leave the synagogue and go out and preach to the Gentiles. He would do that in Acts chapter 17 when he went to Thessalonica. He went there for three He went to the synagogue on three successive Sabbath days, and the church at Thessalonica was started from him doing that. But here in Philippi, there wasn't a synagogue. Okay, you had to have 10 Jewish males in a city before you could form a synagogue. Apparently, there weren't 10 Jewish males in the city of Philippi. So when the Sabbath came, probably the first Sabbath that they were there, Paul and Silas and Timothy and Dr. Luke, there wasn't a synagogue to go to, but they'd heard about a prayer meeting that went on every Sabbath down at the riverside. And so they sought out that place. They went to that place where prayer was wont to be made. That word wont, W-O-N-T, it meant something that happened on a regular basis. So on a regular basis, on the Sabbath, people got together. Again, this passage of Scripture says it was mostly, if not all, women that gathered down by the river to pray. They assembled there. Now, again, it's kind of ironic. When Paul got the vision to come into Macedonia, he saw a vision of a man. Come over into Macedonia and help us. And yet the first group of people that he got to minister to was a group of women. And so the Bible says that he sat down and spake unto the women. Now, it doesn't tell us what he talked about, but again, I don't think it does have to tell us what he talked about. I'm sure that what he talked about was Jesus Christ. I'm sure what he talked about was the gospel, because we read that at least one woman heard the gospel, understood it, and received it, and was baptized. That lady was named Lydia, which was also the name of the province where the city that she came from, Thyatira, was located in the province of Lydia. She was a seller of purple, okay? Purple dye, okay? Thyatira was a center of the purple dye trade. Purple dye was made from the gland of a certain shell, or it was made from the root of a certain plant. And both those shells and the plant that had those roots were very common in the city that Lydia came from. And so she, you know, harvested those things from the shells and the root, made purple dye, and dyed things purple. Now, she probably came to Philippi to ply her trade, to sell purple things in the city of Philippi. It says that she worshiped God, okay? So she was probably, back in that day, what was known as a God-fearer. God-fearer. A Gentile who believed in God, but did not become a full convert to Judaism, okay? So Paul came. Lydia was in this group of women that had gathered at the riverside to pray. Paul talked to them, again, about Christ, about the gospel. Lydia heard, and she attended, which means she responded to the things that were spoken of by Paul. And the Bible says that the Lord opened her heart so that she could respond. Paul was the messenger, but the work that was done in Lydia was done by God. And again, that hasn't changed. Whenever anything happens in us, it's not us that's doing the work. It's not a teacher that's doing the work. It's not a preacher that's doing the work. It's God that's doing the work. He'll use us as messengers. When we go out and share the gospel with other people, we are messengers. But we're not the one that does the work. It's God that does the work. And so God did the work in Lydia's heart. And she responded to what she heard. We see, first of all, she was baptized. Okay? She was by the river, so it was a convenient place for her to get baptized. Not only she was baptized, but her household. Now, no indication that she was married. There are some people that read this and say, "Hey, Lydia was married. She had a husband and kids and babies." and therefore infant baptism is okay. That's a big stretch. Big stretch. It doesn't talk anything at all about infants getting baptized. Lydia got baptized, she probably had servants. And when they saw her master, their master get baptized, their heart was probably open to the gospel. And they got baptized as well. But then she did something else. She said to Paul, said, "Hey, if you really truly believe that I have gotten saved, that I've listened and responded to what you said, I want you to come into my house. I want you to come and abide with me. I want you to come, while you're here in Philippi, I want you to come and stay with me." The Bible says she besought them. She begged them. And these men agreed. They said, okay. They came into her house. They made it a headquarters. Later on, we read that it was her house that was used for a place for believers to gather. And so, again, here's Paul and Silas and Timothy attempting to go here, here, and here. God closed the door. Didn't tell them why, just closed the door. Got them to Troas. At Troas, Paul had this vision. A man of Macedonia, come over and help us. They were at the very spot that they needed to leave from to get to Macedonia. They got there. They got to Macedonia. No synagogue, so they went down to the river, met a group of women, preached the gospel unto them, and Lydia got saved, got baptized, opened up her home, and her home became a spot for believers to gather. God still closes doors. God still sometimes says, hey, I don't want you to do that. At the time, he doesn't necessarily tell us why. Again, what Paul and Silas and Timothy wanted to go when they wanted to go to those three different places, it was a good thing. I mean, they were going to preach the gospel. But God closed the door and said, yeah, I know what you want to do. I know it's a good thing, but I got something better for you. And that's the way God works. Usually when God closes the doors, he has other doors that he's about to open that are a whole lot better for us to go through than the doors that we wanted to go through. So he still closes doors and he still opens doors. His plans are always still better than our plans. And so let's not be so stubborn to think that we know more than God does. Let's not be so hard-headed that when the Holy Spirit closes the door and opens another one, that we say, well, I'm going to go through this one anyway. Let's go through the door that God opens. We'll be more productive, we'll serve God better, and we'll be a whole lot happier just by listening to where God wants us to go. All right, thank you for being here this morning. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for this lesson. Thank you for the example that we have in Paul and Silas and Timothy and Dr. Luke. And I pray that we would learn from their example. We have to go to where people are. But again, Holy Spirit, you'll direct us. And you'll send us to the very spot, to the very people that you want us to share the gospel. So help us to be open to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray you will go with us into the service that follows as we uplift Christ. I pray those that are here that don't know him will open up the door to their hearts and let him come in. Be saved, just like Lydia was in the lesson this morning. So I pray, Father, that you'd make it so. Thank you again for letting us be here for Sunday school. Go with us into the service. We ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. All right, thank you. You are dismissed.